Yay Networks.
13 has been my lucky number for a while. Like, it's always a sign of good things to come for me.
This is 13, a Taylor Swift fan podcast, breaking down every song, every Easter egg, every era, and every theory. Hosted by the biggest Swifties, Nick Adams, Anna Casiejos, Amy Nichols, and Lacey G.
Gail, thank you so much for doing this. We have so much to talk to you about. Your life right now is just incredible. Pick someone in this world whose life is better than Gail right now. I don't know who it is.
Taylor Swift.
But Gail, this has just been such an incredible year. Of course, you had such a great breakout year last year. Now you're opening up for Taylor Swift and for Pink on different tours this year. You just released a new song, Everybody Hates Me. And it's just like, how are you able to sleep at night knowing how awesome your life is right now?
It is very, actually, I feel in such a like specific moment of time. Even before this year was starting, I was coming into this year with the Grammy nom and getting on tour with Taylor. And it was just so exciting. And I've just been so grateful that I've had this opportunity. And I don't think I've ever cared about 20 minutes more than I ever have in my life before I knew that I was getting it ready for her set. And what's been so amazing to see is like Taylor's been breaking so many records. And to be a part of those shows that are breaking such incredible records, you know, to be at the stadium that the first female ever headlined in Las Vegas, and the fact that she did it twice, and the fact that she put like two female artists to open up for her is not something I take lightly. So it's like such a huge honor for me to be a part of. And I'm just very excited for the opportunity. Yeah. And it just feels like a once in a lifetime thing. Like I never thought this was going to happen to me. And so the fact that this is happening is just very excited. And to see the shows, to get to see your show almost every night.
And you are phenomenal. I had the pleasure and honor of seeing you perform in Glendale opening weekend of the Eras Tour. And Gail, you are so confident on that stage. You like, I would not have guessed. I'm like, she's played stadiums before for sure. Like that, like the way that you perform, you are up there, like you can command the stage, the crowd, you're rocking. You are such a light to see. And I'm so happy for you. And I know that was probably nerve wracking because it was the first weekend. How did you feel?
Well, one, obviously I was so excited to open up for Taylor Swift and to go on tour with her. And I knew that I was going to be one of three, which I was very excited for. So I couldn't wait to see the direct support because I just knew it was going to be so cool. And when it came out, I flipped out. Like, it was the craziest lineup I think I've ever seen. Like Muna and Biba Doobie and Phoebe Bridgers and even Gracie Abrams, Girl in Red, Owen, Paramore. Like, there's just such incredible acts on this show. And so when I found out that we were on the Paramore dates, one, I was so excited for the Nashville representation. Like, that was just very exciting for me, especially growing up, like going to Nashville. I've always heard of Paramore and Taylor Swift. So to be on that show was like just the most exciting thing ever. And I am in no way accustomed or used to playing stadiums whatsoever. So I was dying the whole entire time. Like, I was freaking out. And then I also couldn't get over the fact that I was kind of like seeing the same view that Taylor was seeing when she was performing. Like, that was really cool to get to see. I remember seeing her when I believe I was like 14, 15. I saw her play Reputation in Nissan Stadium. And I just remember thinking like, wow, that view, like just imagine seeing that view of that stadium. And it's crazy that like she 4 years later gave me the opportunity to see what that view looks like. And it's beautiful. Like it's beautiful. And seeing all the outfits, like getting to be like getting to see all the outfits is incredible. Like I saw the willow tree and I was like, yes.
Gail, I gotta imagine you put so much thought and energy, like you said, into your 20 minutes. That's what we got here. So how much time did you spend focusing on that 20 minutes that you're on stage for opening for Taylor? And then how do you think you're going to keep tinkering with your time slot as the tour goes on?
My original goal, which I'm very happy that I was able to stick to because I wasn't totally sure at first, is I wanted to create an A set and a B set because I knew there were some dates where I was on multiple nights in a row and I thought maybe there'd be some overlap on people who would see the show. And so I wanted to create just like the slightest bit of a different experience, especially I kind of see the shows as like an introduction. Like I'm just kind of here being like, hi, this is me and this is who I am and you can pay attention or not if you want to. So I'm gonna have some interludes and it's kind of like, oh, here's a little bit of this song. Here's a little bit of this song. Here's a little bit of this song. And it's not too different. Like there's probably like one or two songs that are changing. And throughout the set, my goal is to change the covers. Currently, the covers are You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette and Betty and the Jets by Elton John, which has been just so much fun to see. And the biggest thing is it probably took us around 2 weeks to get the 20 minutes together because it was two different 20 minutes. So it was like 40 minutes overall. And then I also switched between guitar and bass during the set. And if you look at it, it actually makes no sense. Like I put on my guitar. Then I put on my bass and then I don't have it. And then I take my bass and then I take my guitar and then I don't, like, I just keep switching. And so we had to practice those switches because we weren't necessarily used to the stage being so big. So my beautiful, lovely guitar tech, I've never had one before. We have to sprint on the stage and like get each other to switch the instruments. And we're all, and then there's a stadium full of people. So then we're just like, most terrifying thing in the entire world. But it was mainly like the instrument switches and also figuring out how to cut the songs and how many songs is too many songs. Like, where are my talking points? How do I not cry? Because I feel like crying 15 times, like after I perform is going to get a little old at some point. How do I not? Just because every time I start talking, I just think about how much the song has changed my life. And then I get to see the people that have listened to the song and changed my life and getting to thank them personally. It just makes me cry every time I think about it. And then to be there, also getting to say like, thank you to Taylor Swift for asking me to be here. That's going to make me tear up and cry. And then thinking about how everybody's changed my life. And then I'm on the stage. I'm like, that's emotionally a lot to keep in my body.
Hey, I'll cry. I'll cry with you. I'm not sure if you remember, but I did get to talk to you at some point last year before I knew that you were going to go on tour with Taylor. And I remember in our interview, you were talking about how Taylor was one of the most inspirational people for you, the way that she's kind of just like paved the way. And so then to be on this tour with her now, I'm sure it's just so surreal. I mean, I don't know how much like communication you do like while you're on tour because you're working and you're busy and stuff, but I'm sure just being around her even gives you even more energy, right?
It's very inspirational to see somebody that I feel like the media has attempted to tear down and invalidate, and to see somebody standing so strong and has created such an incredible community. And one thing I really love is seeing everybody in the shows like trading friendship bracelets and new friendships and complimenting your costumes. And I got new makeup and it's just such a like tight knit community and friendship. And it's really beautiful seeing what she has created, and to be a part of it in any way is truly just the best thing ever. And it's just such a dream come true. Like it, I feel like I'm lying when I'm talking about it. It's uncomprehendable to me. And especially last year, it was very intimidating. Like, oh my God, my life changed at 17. I had this song. Like, what am I even going to do next year? Like this year was so crazy. And she was like, hey, I'll give you some plans to do something next year. And that was just so, it's such a light in my life. Like it's brightened up so many things for me. And it also like, it's such a light at the end of the tunnel. Cause when I've been in places where I haven't known what I've done or what I'm going to do, then 6 months later, I can look at myself and be like, wow, like good things can happen if you just wait and just like be a good person and still like take the gigs and take the opportunities, and then good things will just come from that. And now I think I've also learned that lesson a little bit. Instead of being like, what's going to happen? It's like, it's okay. Things are going to happen. So you just got to keep doing you and just keep being you, and then good things will come. And it's just crazy that this came my way. Like, it's just like,
this, oh. is, That's so cool. You're definitely giving us a great lesson in just putting that positive energy out in the world.
Yes.
Not being all me all the time. Yeah.
Yeah, the girl syndrome for sure.
And Gail, you say that you've been a fan of Taylor Swift for a long time. Like you said, you saw her on Reputation in the stadium that you're opening up for, which is just mind boggling.
Oh my God. Yeah.
What are some of your favorite Taylor Swift songs?
Picture to Burn.
Yes, let's go.
That is a great song. I remember hearing that song when I was a little kid, and I was like, that is one of the best songs that I have ever heard. I also love Enchanted.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, that is a great song. Love Story. Mm-hmm. That is a classic. Back to December. Back to December. That one, like,
you're about to get emotional right now.
I cry all the time
hearing this song when I like had no boyfriend, and then I had a boyfriend when I heard that song, you know, like I had no emotional ties to anybody, but I heard that song and it like made me miss an ex that I just didn't have.
Yeah.
I think Trouble in 22 were just in such a like specific moment of my life. Like I just remember hearing I Knew You Were Trouble in elementary school and hearing like all of the remix of it, and I like rewrote like my own version of it, and like my school and my summer camp rewrote their own version of it. 1989. As a writer, that is, if I ever just want to feel insecure about writing earlier system, I just put on 1989 and I'm like, hurt my feelings, like please. Wildest dreams. Like, excuse me. I Know Places.
I love how you go on album by album.
I know, this is great. Gail, you might need to be a permanent member of our podcast that breaks down Taylor Swift songs every week. You're
Reputation. Reputation. That is anytime anything bad happens to me, I'm like, Reputation era. It's my Reputation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Comment, I'm like, it's my Reputation era. I don't care.
Oh no. They forgot the ketchup at McDonald's. Reputation era.
It's my Reputation era. Don't blame me. I did something bad.
That's like going to church.
Getaway
car. This is incredible. Now, were you in your Reputation era when you were writing Everybody Hates Me, your new song that's out?
I was. I fully was actually like fully in my Reputation era. I don't think I knew it in the moment, but looking back, I was like, that fully is my Reputation.
Yeah. Because this song goes really hard. What was going on in your life where you wanted to write a song, Everybody Hates Me, and write a song where like the music is hard? Like this is such a, I wasn't expecting this kind of music when I hit play. What was going on in your life that made you want to make that song?
Well, over the past year and a half, I haven't really toured much until my song ABC had done what it done. And because of that, I got some incredible touring opportunities where I was able to open up for AJR and Tate McRae and My Chemical Romance, and I was able to do my own headlining run. And with that, I really loved that I adored the intensity of live performance, and specifically inside of that, like rock and alternative music live is just, I love it so much. And so I definitely wanted to take that inspiration and put it in a pop form with Everybody Hates Me. And I wrote that song in February of last year. And so I believe ABC went number one around March. So it's just kind of starting to go on the radio, is in the top 20, and it probably had around like 300 million streams. And I kind of started hearing the comment a bit more on social media that I was just like, I've heard the song everywhere. I'm like so sick of it. And I remember when I just wrote this song, I was like, as a writer, it was my dream. I was like, I want people to hear this song everywhere and get sick of it. Like I was just like a 5-year-old that didn't know anything. And I was just like, if this song does anything, like I want it to be everywhere. Nobody can escape it. And they'll get sick of it because they've heard it so much. And then that happened. And I was like, that hurts my feelings. I didn't know how I would feel about that. And then it kind of also, I started seeing more of the sentiment of like, wow, you're so cool for not liking this song. You're so original. Oh my God. Other people know this song. Like, and you don't like it. Like,
yeah,
you know, I was just seeing a bit more of that sentiment of like the cool kids were like, I'm original because this song has streams that I have to acknowledge, but no. Actually.
Yeah, it's like when it was cool to hate on Taylor Swift way back when, you know, but now like everybody, of course, loves her. But Gail, I do love how you handle that. I did see on social media when somebody commented something mean about when you got nominated for like best new artist at the Grammys, and they're like, oh, they're nominating anyone these days. And you responded, you're like, yeah, then you do it.
Yeah, you do it.
Yeah. Yeah, you do it. That was like my favorite clapback I think I've ever seen. You're like, yeah, well, then you do it.
There's every once in a while, I kind of like to mess with people. And I kind of, when they're mean to me, I'm like, are we flirting? Like, because I kind of like you. Like,
you're like, oh, okay.
Is this you winking at me? Like, hey, oh like, like, if they're like, you suck, I'm like, yeah, I do. Telling me things I already know about myself. Like, And I think for me, especially when I was like 17 and going through a very specific place in social media, my coping mechanism was to act like I just like didn't care. And it was like, yeah, it was fine. And it became almost empowering to me, because if everybody hates you, then you might as well like yourself and like the things that you're doing. And if everybody hates you, then nothing matters almost.
Yeah.
So I was just very affected in that moment of time. And I wrote that song and it kind of stuck with me for a few months. And that mentality helped me. And then I started going to therapy, and then I really realized that like nothing matters and it doesn't really care what people think. And like, I know what I know. And my truth is the thing that matters the most. And I weirdly, as a coping mechanism, was making music for people who didn't like me to try and like prove them wrong and make them like me. And doing things for people who don't like you isn't going to make them like you. They're just not going to like you. And then you're not going to like it. And then everybody's miserable. And so I also just kind of stopped being like, this is what I think people who don't like me want to hear from me. It's just kind of like, this is what I want to make. And I have to start doing things for the things I like and for the people who like me, because that is the type of community I want to create, is like positivity and not just a bunch of self-hate and hatred and negativity.
Yeah. Well, you are doing a fantastic job. You are only continuing to succeed, and it is an honor to watch you do it. It really is. It's incredible. We're so excited that you are going to be playing AT&T Stadium in your hometown. Like, that's insanely awesome. We're so proud of you, and we're so thankful for you taking the time talk to us, to chat with us, to come on the podcast.
I appreciate it. Also, I don't feel like I said enough of Taylor Swift's my favorite song. So,
Bejeweled. Yo, just rattle some more off if you want. We got time.
Look What You Made Me Do. That might be controversial. I don't even think it's controversial, but sometimes I say my favorite Taylor Swift songs and people are like, ooh, the controversial picks. And I'm like, excuse me. Paper Rings.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This would be better. That is one of my favorite songs of hers. New Year's Day. Sweet Nothing. Sweet. Yes. Like, oh my gosh. Okay. Champagne Problems. Champagne Problems. Tolerate It. Tolerate It.
I'm Ivy, Gail. I love Ivy.
Oh, that one.
Tolerate It destroys me.
Tis the damn season. Also, when she talked about Evermore, I just like the first night I was like, this is the most iconic thing. I just couldn't wait, especially when I was watching this. I was like, I can't wait to see this on the internet. Like, I can't wait to see the moments, because there's times where like I would just know. I was like, I can't wait for this clip to be on the internet and get huge. And then I'd see it on my For You page the next day, and I'm like, I was there.
When she defeated the allegations against Evermore.
I was there. She said she loved it. All Too Well, also hearing that live.
Sure.
Therapeutic.
And you get to see her sing that 15 times.
Oh, so many times. It's really beautiful. And the solo acoustic performance. First night, Mirror Ball.
Anna has a mirror ball tattoo, and she went to the second night, Gail, and she missed the first night.
I'm sorry.
Well, we know that you got to get going, Gail. You are on a tight schedule. You got a lot to do. You got to go play some stadiums. So thank you so much again for coming on. We're so proud of you. You know, you're always welcome on this podcast, and we wish you all the best.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. And it's been so lovely talking to you again.
Thanks, Gail. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. The 13, a Taylor Swift fan podcast. Subscribe for free and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.